Howdy, friends, and welcome into the Gridiron Frogs podcast as part of the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. I'm your host, Just Nolan, because you can't handle the Ruth, a Fort Worth area native with very interesting and peculiar ties to TCU. And I'm joined by my partner in crime, JD Andrus, who seems to co-host every podcast for our site, and who is fresh out of his boot and back in the workforce now, which I know he's has mixed feelings about. This is episode 10 of our show, covering TCU football and a smattering of other topics related. And we are joined by a third guest today, one of the newest writers for our site, Caleb Sisk. Caleb, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely, man. Thank you for having me on. I'm looking forward to this episode and looking forward to being able to talk some college football.
We're glad to have you, man. Today is Tuesday, the 10th of September at the time of this recording. And JD, Caleb, Caleb, you're new to the show, but I always have an opening question here. And because we have a special guest, I'm not going to be as specific with this question, kind of just a general question. Other than the Horned Frog, what is your favorite mascot in college football? I'll let Caleb go first.
Man, favorite mascot. You know, I got to go with Smokey from Tennessee. You know, the blue tick. Hound dog, just a great, great mascot. Most underrated mascot. Always doing something crazy as well for them folks down in Tennessee. So I think I got to go with Smokey.
That's a great pick, Caleb. But unfortunately, it's the Tulane Green Wave. It's one of the most unique in college football. It's also really sick how it reflects on the helmets. But, you know, it was a toss-up. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Tulane Green Wave.
Personally, I like the Roadrunners of UTSA, and sadly, that game that I so hyped up last week did not turn out to be the game I hoped it would. Texas State dominating that one over UTSA. Good answers, gents. I like it. Well, Caleb, hang on. Before I introduce Caleb and let Caleb introduce himself, pretty simple show today just because we have some time restraints. We're going to try to keep it pretty short. We are going to talk about Big 12 this week. But it's going to be more of like of the College Game Day Saturday selections. We're going to go game by game and make our picks, saying no more than two sentences apiece. Caleb's going to introduce himself. We're going to talk about TCU's game against Long Island. Probably won't spend a lot of time on that. We're going to preview the game with UCF, which I know JD has a lot of thoughts about. And then we're going to introduce a new segment right before we do our Saturday selections that JD, I think, is excited for because he has some thoughts. But there's a time limit, so we'll introduce that here later in the show. But first, Caleb, you were one of the new writers. We brought on three new writers in the past about week, and you were one of them. We were supposed to be joined by at least one of the others, but you were the only one who could make it today. Just introduce yourself. How'd you end up in the sports media, and how'd you find yourself working for TCU?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, just to start it off, shout out to John, shout out to Tanner, both my guys who came with me over to this site. Sad they couldn't be here. That was the original plan. But, you know, things come up. So I got to represent all three of us. That's for sure. So as far as this media journey, man, it's been crazy. I started off going to games, going to football games, just talking and interviewing recruits with no platform to back it. That quickly, you know, escalated to something different as I was running a homegrown brand for the Tennessee Volunteers football on Instagram called Tennessee Topic. I still run it to this day. Around 24,000 followers on Instagram that I grew in about 2 years. So that's kind of mainly where my interviews was going. And I got noticed by a couple people, including rivals Dell Dowden, who is at the Tennessee site right now, has been at the Tennessee site for, I want to say, nearly 2 years. He's coming up on 2 years, former SI writer himself. So, you know, got noticed by him. Word got to Evan Crowell. I started working with Evan Crowell and the Tennessee Volunteer Country site for Sports Illustrated back on October 17th of last year. Ever since then, I've just really been hitting recruiting hard because that's mainly my focus. I love to cover recruiting, love to travel for recruiting. And it's just been a blast. I've joined multiple sites covering multiple different levels. You know, I'm a former lead publisher as well for Athlon Sports. You know, made the switch back over to Sports Illustrated. It's been great, man, and super excited to be here once again and now at a new site that I've never had the opportunity to write for. So, you know, it's just a blessing, and I look forward to everything that comes with it, and you know, just blessed to be able to be on this podcast as well today. You know, you can always keep up with me as well at @CalebSisk_. You can also keep up with our podcast that, you know, Tanner and John were supposed to be representing today, but, you know, unfortunate events came up, at @TripleOptionCFB, all on X.
All right. And we'll be sure to have you guys on more as time goes on and seasons roll on. And I'm sure y'all will have more opinions to give.
Absolutely.
Us, especially with not this week, but next week with TCU SMU coming up. And Caleb, right before the show, you were telling us a thought you had about SMU, which we'll get to later.
Absolutely. Yeah. I look forward to, you know, sharing my own opinion on that as well. I feel like me and JD, we share similar opinions on that, so that's going to be quite fun.
All right. Well, before we get to that, and with the time restraints we have, so we're sticking to TCU pretty much all episode. And JD, did we really learn anything from this TCU team in this shutout win against Long Island? Final score 45-0.
Yes. What second?
I'm the only one with a live mic right now. JD has muted himself and removed himself, and Caleb's here. All right, yeah. This is gonna be a long second. I will say I was impressed and I was happy. I got to give a hometown shout out. I got my Alita boy JoJo Earl caught a 5-yard touchdown pass in the second quarter, so that was nice to see. I will say before JD, you go because you had to bail for a second. One thing that I did notice, and that's something that you've just been putting into my brain since we started the show, is the red zone offense. And honestly, having seen Haas Haney placed in that Stanford game, like they were going to kind of run an option or something like that, I truly do think, because the red zone offense wasn't perfect this past week at all either. I would like to really see Haas Haney when he comes back as kind of the red zone quarterback in the way that teams would have a third down running back. You know, he's not going to be on the field all the time, but when you get right down into it, he can be that the finishing drive guy.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much my biggest takeaways, besides the fact that the red zone offense was, although technically they were 6-for-6 on the game, it wasn't perfect at all.
It wasn't the pretty.
The fact that we're having to do a reverse pass with Savion Williams against Long Island University does not bolster my confidence well. Regardless of the fact that there were too many times that it's, I understand that we are now rushing the ball, which I've been asking for in the red zone. But Cam Cook is a very, very talented outside running back, and we're just stuffing him up the middle every time. We have other running backs that are capable of doing that. You got Dominique, you got Campaign that can do that. You got Trey Sanders, who I know there's probably a lack of trust with him after the fumbles and the mistakes in week one, but he's still capable of it. Other than that, Josh Hoover, man, he's just consistent. And that's what you want. That's what Sonny Dykes talked about during the offseason, was that he had to basically change Josh Hoover from being this form of a have to go out and do it yourself and be this playmaker guy to, hey, just be the guy that doesn't make the mistakes. And that's what you're seeing from Hoover. Especially the man hasn't thrown an interception on the season yet so far. Let me knock on my desk. And then other than that, the only other thing is this defense is good, man. Like, I know it was Long Island, but we saw it against Stanford. You take away some of the penalties that happened because it was the first game and a little bit of jitters here and there. Like, this defense is good, and they're only going to get better. Caleb and I were talking about it before we started recording, is, you know, there's a solid chance that Paul Oyewale comes back this weekend, and that is a huge dynamic piece to this team. There's a chance that, like, Bud Clark didn't even play in the last game. And you know how many people didn't even realize that because the defense was playing that well? Bud was out the entire game because of sickness. He'll be back this week. He's had a week of rest. There's a chance you get Avery Helm back at some point in the season. There's a chance you get Brandon Glover. Like, this defense is very, very good if you keep up with anyone. And it really, really excites me for what the rest of the season could be.
No, I completely agree. And the defense, much to your point, did fantastic. I mean, again, much to what you said, I know it's Long Island, but only 127 total yards of offense given up. Then 9 first downs, and to your point on penalties, that takes away 3 of them, I think. Yeah, like that is a dominating defensive performance, and that gives me some hope coming into the next couple of weeks, especially this week as well with UCF and their new shiny offense, which will be making his conference debut this week in Fort Worth. Anything else on this game before we start previewing UCF? I didn't think there was enough a lot that we needed to preview.
Yeah, absolutely. I think y'all kind of hit the nail on the head right there. You know, just a great job running the ball. Cook did great. Great red zone offense, I felt. You know, it felt a little bit basic inside the red zone. I know at one point you had the tight end on the seam. You're hitting the tight end on the seam. You can't exactly do that against a really good defense who's going to run, you know, a good zone coverage on that. So, you know, just a little bit basic. But, I mean, why not go basic against a team like that? You don't got to show all your plays. But, yeah, I mean, at points it didn't feel so basic, and at other points it did feel basic. So it was a little bit like, you know, wishy-washy, but I think this team did really good running the football.
JD, anything to add to that?
No, the only thing, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more when we kind of get into the UCF preview, is TCU did get burned more than three times in the Saturday game by a rushing quarterback. And to, you know, their defense, like, it was kind of at points all LAU needed, and TCU probably didn't game plan for it as much as they will this week against KJ Jefferson. But it is something that did spark, you know, a little bit of thought in your brain that, hey, this is happening against LAU. You got a KJ Jefferson who isn't the greatest rushing quarterback, but he is capable of it.
Absolutely. And I was just looking at the UCF game against New Hampshire, and even against New Hampshire, his stats rushing aren't great. He carried the ball 11 times for 39 yards and a score. But his passing yard, his passing doesn't look as stellar either. I think that now we fully move on into previewing the TCU-UCF game, RJ Harvey is going to be a big factor here. 11 carries, 142 yards, and a couple scores in UCF's win against New Hampshire. And honestly, a TCU defense that I'm questioning, because we haven't really seen it yet, how they're going to play against such a good running back like that.
I mean, you're looking at a UCF team that I believe they lead the country with, I believe it's 417 rushing yards per game is what they're averaging right now, which is just absurd. And TCU's kind of kryptonite the last three seasons has been stopping the rushing attack. So not only will this be a big test for what this defense has been and for first year coordinator Andy Avalos, but, you know, will TCU be able to control the ball enough to give the defense enough time to be able to rest to stop it? The only thing that's kind of really, really given me this big boost of confidence is that this linebacker core is really good. Caleb Alarms Moore is a very, very good run stopper. Johnny Hodges is fully healthy. You love that. Caleb Fox has been really well plugging holes, so is Tymon Mitchell. Nnamdi Obiezor has been all over the field. And you got Bud Clark, who is a fantastic run-stopping safety that if you need to stack him in the box and you feel confident
that's
about
be
what,
key.
You know, Jamel Johnson and, you know, what the rest of the secondary is doing is you're going to be able to stop this run. And I think that's kind of the key to this weekend is you make KJ Jefferson beat you.
I completely agree, and that's what I was going to say. I think the secondary stopping the run is the key. We have the defensive front. We have the linebackers. I'm convinced of that. It's how the corners are going to respond on the outsides, how the safeties are going to react by coming up and playing blitz or getting in the box, as you just said. That's going to be the biggest thing for me defensively is stopping this run, because KJ Jefferson's passing stats have not looked so good to start the season. And so that is the key. We have to make him beat us. We have to make him beat us with his arm and his feet, because we're going to shut down one of them. And I think we're going to shut him down with his feet. We have to make KJ Jefferson use his arm to beat us. That's my theory in this game. Go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a bit of a weird situation just because the rushing attack as a whole is solid for UCF. And I do agree 100% the defensive backs have to make downhill plays, especially if you're going to stop the rushing attack as is. You want to get them in third and long situations. If you can get them in third and long situations, that's going to force them to pass. They're, you know, even in third and short situations, they're going to be able to run the ball. So, I mean, you got to get them in third and long situations. If TCU can find themselves doing that, they're going to be in great shape. You know, KJ can run himself a bit. So you also have to find a way to contain KJ, keep him in the pocket. If you can do that and make him throw the ball, you know, I trust this TCU defense to be able to make some plays.
Yeah, I think a lot of what it is too is, and a big part of this is, if you look at UCF's defensive style, they like to play a lot of one-on-one matchups on the outside, which bodes really well for having the likes of a freak of nature in Savion Williams, who has been involved at times in, like, he'll get like four straight passes in a drive and then not see another one for three straight drives. And if Savion can stay healthy and stay consistent and find that connection with Hoover early, that could just be deadly trouble, because this offensive line has been fantastic in pass pro, and the UCF defensive line doesn't scare me too much that I still feel confident that TCU will have the better matchup on that side. One thing that I do kind of fully expect to be more in the game plan is the use of being a tight end. Drake Dabney hasn't been used that much this season, if barely at all, in both games, and I fully expect him to be used a lot more this week.
Yeah, that's something I've been kind of disappointed with, is the lack of the tight end play. Granted, now mainly in the Stanford game, the Long Island game, I didn't feel it was needed as much. I think that Dabney could have made a huge impact in the Stanford game, but this is really going to be the game where Dabney can make his name known. And JD, thank you for the segue to offense. I was trying to figure out how to do that, because UCF really hasn't faced an offense like they're about to see. They've played Sam Houston in New Hampshire. Now, TCU, I feel, has the advantage in that, especially with, like you said, the one-on-one coverage. They haven't seen receivers or tight ends like they're about to see in Fort Worth on Saturday. So UCF is really not battle-tested, and that's where I think that that game with Stanford, even though it was ugly, comes into play here, because TCU got a lot stronger in that game and found a lot of their own flaws. They've been working on it. They perfected it a little bit against Long Island. They're feeling better about themselves. I really think that TCU could come in here and win by at least two scores.
Yeah, Cal, why don't you take this one?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I could go as far as saying they would win by two scores. That's very confident, and I respect the confidence. I just can't go as far as saying that. I do think they can dominate in the pass game here. You know, Hoover's solid. He's shown that he can make plays. You know, your wide receivers show that they can make plays. I believe the leading receiver right now is Savion Williams, correct? He has like 150 receiving yards. So, you know, your guys are going to make plays at the end of the day. So you just have to get the ball to them. And I trust Hoover to be able to do that. It starts with the rushing attack as well. So, you know, you got guys like Cook as well. So if he can make plays in the run game and rushing attack, I think it's going to open up this pass game. And TCU could be in a world of hurt very quickly if this starts opening up very quickly. So, you know, I think TCU very well could win this just because of the passing attack that will be opened up. However, I don't think it's going to be two scores. I think that's a bit bold, but, you know, I respect it.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, two scores could be as little as 9 points. I'm just saying.
Right? That's fair. I don't even touchdowns. Know if it'll be that high, though. I really don't think it could be that high.
You know how rare it is, you look at a game and you look at different sports betting websites that have one team as 2-point favorites, the other team as a 2-point favorite. You have ESPN FBI Predictor, which I know is not the best thing in the world, but has UCF predicted that 55% chance? This game is truly a toss-up. And I think a lot of it comes down to how much does TCU make KJ Jefferson beat them? And what is the red zone offense for TCU? It's the same thing that, you know, Nolan, you talked about it earlier, that I basically put it into your brain now, and now I'm going to keep engraving it, because I said last year, if TCU had a better red zone offense last year, they would have had a way better record. If TCU can have a good red zone offense this year, then they could be as good as they need to, because they can drive the field with ease. It's a question of, can they finish and score some points? And UCF hasn't really faced anyone in the red zone, and I'm really hoping that we see some packages, some play designs that hasn't already been showed if we're already showing trick plays against LIU.
No, I completely agree. And look, y'all both make good points about UCF. I am just not buying this UCF hype. And y'all are telling me it's bold and saying that. I haven't seen a reason yet to buy it. Now, if they come into Fort Worth and absolutely hand the Horned Frogs an embarrassing loss, then I'm going to be kind of going, all right, UCF, they might be pretty good. But I have not seen in the past 2 weeks from KJ Jefferson what I wanted to see out of UCF against significantly lesser competition. So I still think UCF has a lot to prove. That's why I'm saying, and again, Caleb, two scores could be as low as 9 points. But
I don't even think it's going to be that, man. I really don't.
I understand where you're coming from. But, no, I think that this is going to – look, I'm not going to deny it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. It's going to be whichever team can last all four quarters. And, yes, it's going to come down to how KJ Jefferson plays. It's going to come down to the Horned Frogs' red zone offense. And more importantly to me, it's going to come down to how much pressure they put on Jefferson, because Jefferson, even in Arkansas, was a quarterback that never really looked that confident when he was flustered or pressured. So the front, the defensive front here is going to be a big one for TCU. And because this is the game we are paid to preview here, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm taking TCU by a touchdown and a field goal. I'm going to say TCU by 10.
We're doing predictions already, and you went that bold off the rip.
Just this one prediction. Caleb can go first. Give you some time to decide.
Okay, so just a prediction straight up?
Explain it, prediction straight up, whatever you want to do.
You know, there's a bunch of difference makers in this game on both sides. I think we can all agree. You know, KJ is one to point to for UCF. However, Kobe Hudson is another one. I've been following Kobe Hudson since his younger days. He was a stud then. He's a stud now. You know, he looked great at Auburn too. So he's only getting better by the year. I want to say last year he had nearly 1,000 yards receiving. That speaks highly about a guy like that. So I think he's going to be a difference maker. I think he's going to give TCU some issues early on. You know, and if TCU can't contain a guy like Kobe Hudson, it's going to be a long game. And I think that I have to go with UCF here. You know, covering TCU, I really think TCU has a chance, and I think it's close. But something's just telling me, I guess it's my gut, I think UCF sneaks it out. Sadly, I know the Horned Frogs fans are going to hate me. It's you know, it's early on in my writing career here with the Horned Frogs. So, you know.
Hey, you don't have to apologize to me. I'm an Oklahoma Sooner. So, I mean.
There you go. So I'm gonna go with 21-17 and give me the Knights.
Wow, he gave the actual score prediction. I just said the point differential. Okay. All right, JD, have you thought about it?
I have, and I can't tell you where I sit, and I'll explain my thought process slightly. Is Nolan, we did our preseason predictions. I had UCF finishing second.
I know where you're going already. Yeah.
I also did the week-by-week prediction of TCU's schedule and had them losing to match up with that. And then I saw TCU play, and I've drank the Kool-Aid slightly, and I'm fully bought into what this team can do. With that said, I'm taking UCF, and I think it's going to be 31-28.
That was a good fake out.
Man, what a heel turn.
what was the score you said?
31-28. And I want to be wrong, of course. Obviously, we cover TCU. I love TCU with all my heart. But something's telling me that, you know, it's the Knights are on the come up. TCU is going to have a good game. I really, truly think it'll come down to a last second field goal or a touchdown. One way or another, I fully do believe that. Because I think both these teams are so well evenly matched that it's just going to be a dogfight all throughout. And I think part of us talking that UCF hasn't been tested also kind of plays into them because they're still relatively fresh. They haven't taken a beating like TCU did in the trenches against Stanford. And, you know, I very well could be wrong. UCF could win this game by 35. So could TCU. I truly think this is a three true outcome game. And it's I'm going UCF. Ask me tomorrow morning. Ask me in 10 minutes. I might give you a different answer, though.
This is one of those games that we're definitely going to find out more than we have in the last 2 weeks about either team. And this game is the tone setter for the rest of the season for both these teams. So I mean, I don't blame, I don't question the fact that we all have different outcomes, although you two are closer in outcomes than I am, obviously. But it's exactly JD's point that is why I'm giving TC the edge here. That battle-testedness, I am a firm believer in that battle-testedness. Caleb, I don't know how much you know about Aledo, Texas. I know JD, you do. I mean, I grew up in that system that you schedule these hard non-conference or non-district games, and you know, you may be a little banged up, but when district opens, you're ready for it, and you're ready for that tough competition. And so early in the season, it's been 2 weeks. Obviously, I hate to say this, but Long Island was kind of a throwaway game. You know, a lot of people got some reps in, which was good, but it really gave the starters some time to heal from that hard-fought Stanford game. So I think that that's ultimately why I'm giving TCU the edge here, because UCF has not had that test for all four quarters yet, and so it comes down to endurance. That's why I say TCU by 10. I think they take a lead late and then add one extra score on top, which will probably be a field goal. That's my explanation for that. Well, gents, it is time for a segment that I am excited to introduce because we talked about it pre-show. We literally threw this together right before we went live. This one's going to work a little different, but this is going to be now a new segment on the Gridiron Frogs podcast. And for background, I used to have a podcast by myself. Well, not by myself, my own podcast with a friend who's an Aggie. And he, but he's very opinionated. Shout out Blake Martin. I love the guy to death. He's a really, really good friend, always will be. And we called it Martin's Minute. And so he had 60 seconds and he could rant and ramble about whatever he wanted to, whatever was irritating him, whatever he was happy about. He just had 60 seconds to get it off his chest. Much like as JD said before the show, it's kind of like FaceTime at the end of Around the Horn. So we're going to give JD 90 seconds, and he has already told us what he is going to rant about. So I'm setting it right now. I have a timer. 1 minute and 30 seconds are on the clock. JD, what are we talking about before I start this clock?
I'm going to start it in one way, and I'm going to talk about three teams in total, but majority of the time will be on one team.
All right. Well, 90 seconds. When you hear the TCU fight song, your time is up, sir. 3, 2, 1, go.
So there's three numbers you got to keep in mind for this, right? There's a 15, there's a 16, and a 17. And there's one number that's lower than all of those, and that number is 15. And there's three teams involved in all this. It's kind of a little bit of a math equation. So typically, when you see a low number, you think the worst team in the world. And that probably is true because it's SMU after they lost to BYU. Losing 18 to 15 at home to a crowd that's maybe 43% capacity. You got Preston Stone on the bench. You got Kevin Jennings, who looks lost like a puppy. Rhett Lashley thinks he's coaching lacrosse or something's going on. I don't know what we're doing. You come into the ACC, you talk this all big and bad. And then you come in here and then you just get embarrassed by BYU, who's rotating three quarterbacks. You can't even rotate your quarterbacks properly. BYU's rotating three of them, one more than you. And you're still getting outclassed in that. I don't understand how you can call yourself a legitimate program and then lose to a BYU team that is on the verge of firing their coach. You just bought him an extra 3 weeks in this season. And
30
this is all
seconds.
your fault. I truly don't understand how you could just go in there, you talk all this about how you're in the ACC, it's a Power Three conference now. Like, no, you're a joke. You might lose. You might finish last in the ACC now. And I'm not even going to have time because I ranted too long about how much I wanted to talk about you. And now I can't even talk about Texas Tech. So that'll wait till they lose to UNT this week. And then I'll talk about Kansas after they lose their second game at some point this season, because I'm sure that'll happen eventually. But yeah, SMU, you stink. And you're not going to be good. I legitimately, you're lucky Florida State sucks because you might actually have a decent chance of winning that one.
All right, that was good. I enjoyed that. Yeah,
Wow.
definitely was had some thoughts about SMU. So for the listeners, JD and I, I see. I'm actually glad you talked too long about SMU because I wanted you to wait for Tech. You and I talked about that this morning. I told you wait, because yeah, we'll get into Tech at a later time. Actually, we'll probably get into them in the next 10 minutes here. Caleb, I'm gonna give you 45 seconds. Do you have any response to him and his rant about SMU losing to BYU?
Man. He's exactly right. I mean, Preston Stone is a great quarterback. He should never be put on the bench. When you have a talent like that, you have to use him. I think back to what Primetime said. I believe it was, a Ferrari parked in front of a double wide, right? So, I mean, that's what Preston Stone is with SMU. So why is he on the bench? JD's completely right. I think Preston Stone is a big factor to this team, and I think Preston Stone can win ball games. So why is he being put on the bench? I mean, I don't even need the 45 seconds. I mean, just play Preston Stone. Come on, man. Like, what are we doing?
All right. Well, we're going to close out here with kind of the way we did it last week, but we're going to make it quick because we have time restraints. Gentlemen, I believe there is some kind of debate going on tonight that I think at least I want to watch. I don't know about y'all.
The SMU burners. That's what the debate is.
That'll be next week. We'll have more about that next week.
I'll back you.
So we're gonna go ahead and trash the non-Big 12 games. I know we did a couple of those last week. JD, I will still give you a question at the end of this though, but we're just gonna pick the Big 12 games here real quick. Even if we think they're gonna be blowouts or something, we're gonna pick all of them. We start Thursday, 6:30 on ESPN. The Arizona State Sun Devils travel to San Marcos to take on Texas State, who just took down UTSA in very convincing fashion. Arizona State's a 1.5-point favorite. And going into San Marcos, I just don't feel good about that. Give me the Bobcats outright.
Yeah, Texas State. And I think it's by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, there's no way. I'm going differently. I got to go with the Sun Devils here. You're going to tell me that they just got done, you know, pretty much dominating Mississippi State for a whole game up until like the fourth quarter, and you're going to pick against them. I can't agree with that. I got to go with the Arizona State here.
You're watching two blind monkeys fight each other, and you pick the winner in the back? This is a crazy thing to back
yourself,
but I respect it, Caleb.
Yo, no, I mean, watch. I'm going to be right, and as soon as they win, I'm just going to at both of y'all on social media. Just know what it's about. What it is.
I'll be at a high school football game not caring, but, you know, it's whatever. Friday, 6 o'clock. On ESPN, UNLV at Kansas. JD obviously already kind of hinted to his hot sports opinion about this one. I just don't see Kansas losing back-to-back after a close one with Illinois on the road. Now you come back to home, you need a win. Kansas is a 7-point favorite. Give me Kansas and Kansas to cover.
Yeah, give me UNLV to win this one. I'm in love with the jackpot turnover machine, man. I'm sorry. It's fueled everything for them to run the table.
Yeah, no, there's too much firepower on the offensive side for Kansas Jayhawks. So, you know, not much to say there.
Not against
the
mighty Illinois.
Illinois is always solid, though. Like, Illinois, when they're not supposed to be good, is always going to do something good. You know, that's their Super Bowl, by the way. I'm just going to point that out there. But give me Kansas by 21 plus. Swear to you.
Okay.
I think Kansas.
All right.
This is crazy. I know it's crazy. It sounds stupid. I'm high on Kansas. I don't care. You know what? I don't care. 21
You're
plus.
High on something.
Yeah.
Yes.
Probably Jaden Daniels. Probably Jaden Daniels pain pills because he's always hurt.
Same night, just an hour later, just down the road from Lawrence out in Manhattan, or I guess Kansas is in Kansas City right now, that soccer stadium or something. But anyway, down the road, Manhattan. I believe, even though this is now conference, this is being played as a non-conference game. JD, correct me if I'm wrong.
It is a non-conference game.
Arizona at Kansas State, 7 o'clock. Two ranked opponents, and even though they're, again, now that they're in the same conference, this is being played as a non-conference game. Kansas State, 7.5-point favorites. And, you know, I'm not real high on Kansas State right now. Their win was less than impressive this past week against Tulane. I mean, they trailed most of the game. Tulane was about to upset him. And you know, beating Tennessee Martin 41-6, not that impressive at all. But then again, Arizona's slate isn't any more impressive. This one's tough for me. I pick Kansas State. I don't think they'll cover. I think this is going to be really close. 7.5, Kansas State gets the favorite.
Yeah, two things on this one. Kansas State, Arizona, it's a non-conference game, and it's the first one. Next year they play again, and it's also a non-conference game. It's the first of two matchups. Really weird, really dumb. But yeah, that's a little tidbit for this one. Second of all, I wasn't impressed by Kansas State's win. They should have lost, but Tulane got robbed on an OPI. But I have no faith in Arizona's defense to be able to stop anything, so I am going Kansas State, and I expect them to cover.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna have to tag along there. I got Kansas State to cover. You know, Arizona is not a slouch at all. I like Noah Fifita at quarterback a lot. But I do think Kansas State will be too much for Arizona. So give me Kansas State and they're 100% covering.
First game Saturday, 11 a.m. kickoff on Fox Sports 1, and this is the one that JD we're he can go ahead and speak a little bit of peace, but he really needs to hold it until next week because he needs to see the result first. But JD, I'm going to give you a few seconds to rant here because Texas Tech is a 9.5 point favorite against the Mean Green, and I can't for the life of me understand why. Give me the Mean Green in here, not to win, but. Yeah, Texas. Give me the Mean Green this one.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm gonna preface what I'm about to say because if Taj Brooks plays, it completely downplays everything I'm about to say. But without Taj Brooks, this offense is very one-dimensional. Joey McGuire has said himself in press conferences that they kind of haven't established who's their wide receiver one or their two or their three. And that's kind of a problem when you're going into the third game of the season. Oh, by the way, the quarterback you're facing, he's faced you 2 years in a row now, Chandler Morris. Hello, how you doing? He's probably going to throw for 450 on your defense and give you the loss.
Wow, I mean, yeah, no, I'm going with Texas Tech. I'm not high on them either, but no reason to be high on North Texas or yeah, nah, just no reason to be high on North Texas for me. Texas Tech, not gonna say they're gonna cover. Honestly, don't know, but I do think they walk away with the win.
You know
Hey,
what? I'm thinking.
by the way,
Go
real quick.
ahead, JD. Yep.
Real quick, Texas Tech likes to talk about how great their fans are. You can get
Mm.
tickets for as low as $10 to Alex Jones Stadium, by the way. It's the cheapest in the Big 12.
Yeah,
Anyways,
man.
just gonna
That
throw that out there.
yeah, still no one's going to that game. I'm not gonna lie. I think
On
no one's
another
going to
note,
that.
actually, I disagree because actually, the more I think about this, number one, I know the North Texas fan base, and everyone from Denton will, in fact, make that trip to Lubbock. That stadium might be more green than you expect. And you know what? The more that I think about it and the more I look at Chandler Morse's numbers, you know what? I'm changing my pick. Give me the Mean Green. The Mean Green are going to win this game. I fully expect that. You do not almost choke against Abilene Christian in overtime and then come out and perform like you did against Washington State and not think that North Texas has a shot to beat you. The fact that I'm taking North Texas to win the game, but I mean, come on. The fact that Texas Tech is a 9.5 point favorite. Give me a break. This is ridiculous. And you know what? One more thing. I believe in the Mean Green. Shout out Mallory Hartley. We already talked about UCF TCU. Obviously, y'all know our picks. I will say UCF is a 2 point favorite. So obviously, y'all both picked them to cover. I picked TCU outright. Oklahoma State on the road at 11 a.m. on ESPN2. 20 point favorite is the Cowboys against the Golden Hurricane of Tulsa.
Yeah, Oklahoma State wins and covers, but look at me, look at me, Gundy. If you don't start running the ball with Ollie Gordon, and instead wasting his talents, I don't know what we're doing here. But yeah, Oklahoma State wins and covers.
I mean, to be fair, Ollie Gordon has nearly 50 touches, and
He
he
has.
just hasn't done
It's more
well.
about it's more about he only had, I believe it was 12 touches going in like with halfway through the fourth quarter this weekend. And it was part of the reason that they were struggling so much.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very high on that Arkansas team as well. So for them to be able to get a win over that Arkansas team, well, I wouldn't say very high. Okay, that's a
Oh.
bit of a push. But for
Okay.
them to get a win over Arkansas, and you know, Arkansas is not as bad as people make them out to be. I think the win was more impressive than depressing, I guess you could say.
Caleb, I think you just said that Arkansas is winning the SEC.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, hang on. I completely disagree. Arkansas handed that game to the Cowboys.
I mean, that is fair.
How many muff punts did they have and how many turnovers? One of them was a pick six. They led 21-0 really early. The Razorbacks were killing the Cowboys. They absolutely choked that game. So, I mean, I don't think this win's impressive at all. They got handed at least 45 points, and they only came away with, what, 28 in regulation? Like, it needed the double overtime? Yeah, I don't believe – so, I all that to be said, I disagree with you on the on the Arkansas-Oklahoma State debate, but I will say I think Oklahoma State bounces back on the road against the Golden Hurricane.
Oh, yeah.
But 20 points?
Yeah.
Cover. I don't think they cover. I don't think they cover.
I have them covering for sure. I think this is where you're going to see Ollie Gordon do big things in a game that's not so bright. So, you know, give me Oklahoma State.
Same time at 11 o'clock on ESPNU, the Cincinnati Bearcats take on Miami of Ohio. The Bearcats, 3.5-point favorites against the Red Hawks in the MAC. And, I don't know, man. Part of me wants to take the Bearcats to cover just for the sake of the Big 12 conference and to save face. 1-point loss to Pitt wasn't horrible, but struggling win over Towson, I'm not sure, man. But regardless, I'm going to take the Bearcats. And 3.5, I think they cover. I think they win by a touchdown.
Sorry, I had to cover my nose because this is the stinkiest matchup I think that's on the slate. Maybe Rice All and right. Houston. But, yeah, give me Cincinnati to win and cover.
Yeah, you know, I think Brendan Sorsby is going to do his thing. I think this team's going to win. I think they're going to cover. You know, I'm intrigued to watch Cincinnati. I don't know why. I just like watching them. Maybe it's because I've covered for them in the past. But, yeah, I think Cincinnati wins this one very easy fashion. Didn't even have to think about it, really. I think it's at least 10 points.
2:30 on ESPN2. Pitt faces its second Big 12 team in as many weeks against West Virginia. West Virginia obviously has the game against Penn State that didn't go quite as well as we had hoped. But West Virginia is coming in as a 3-point favorite on the road at Heinz Field. I'm actually going to take the Mountaineers to cover in this one. I think that they can really start to get something going here in this game.
Yeah, if you don't like the backyard brawl, you don't like college football. So I am going West Virginia to win and cover. And I will be tuning in just to hear the chants. If you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
Man, I'm not going to lie. This game's going to be fun. It's going to be real fun, yeah. Especially, you know, with West Virginia having that loss to Penn State. That was a bad loss, a real bad loss. Actually, someone on our podcast did take West Virginia to win that game. I think I got to follow the trend here. I'm going with West Virginia as well. Yeah, I don't know about covering. It's going to be a close one, but I wouldn't be shocked if they cover. But, yeah, give me West Virginia.
3:30 on CBS Sports Network. It is the battle of, what's it called, the Beehive States? It's Utah and Utah State. And this one is in Logan. It's at the home of the Utah State Aggies. The Utes are on the road, and they are a 20-point favorite. And you know what? That sounds right to me. I'm taking them to cover.
Yeah. I will like to see if Cam Rising's playing before I decide if they cover or not, because you watched how much their offense stalled out at the after his injury in the Baylor game. But, yeah, Utah wins. I don't know about covering just because of injuries.
Yeah, no, Utah wins. They cover. Not much to say. But Utah team's very good. Could make a push for the playoffs for sure. So, give me Utah.
6:30 on Fox Sports 1. It is the rematch of the 11-degree Armed Forces Bowl from 2 years ago. Air Force coming back down to Texas to take on the Baylor Bears. Baylor 15.5-point favorites. And I didn't think at the beginning of the season I'd say this. I'm going to take Baylor. I don't think they cover. But Air Force's loss to San Jose State last week did not give me any hope for the Falcons this year at all.
Yeah, give me the matchup 2 years ago, by the way, when TCU was in the playoffs and Baylor was playing at TCU's home stadium and losing to Air Force in an 11-degree game. That game, yeah, I think I remember that
My
one.
Birthday, by the way, on my birthday. Yeah. I was Baylor, at that game.
Baylor wins, and I think Baylor covers, so not much to say about it.
Yeah, no, Baylor wins. They don't cover. Just feel like it's going to be more so them just shooting themselves in the foot than anything. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, you may see a 14-point game, but 15 and a half right here on ESPN, I'm not going with that. So give me Baylor, but they're not going to cover.
6:30 on CBS, not CBS Sports Network, on national television, CBS. It is my official upset of the week as the Buffaloes are going to Fort Collins to take on Colorado
Stop.
State. And Braden Fowler Nicolosi, Alito
No
boy, he
way.
gets his revenge against the Buffaloes, and the Rams are winning this year against the Buffaloes. Colorado's only a 7-point favorite. And you're going into Fort Collins, into that beautiful stadium that they built not long ago. And I really, really like the Rams. Of course, look, they got embarrassed against Texas, but Texas, I think, showed us this past week against Michigan how good they actually are this season. So against Colorado, who really hasn't impressed me that much these past 2 weeks, yeah, I can see JD not liking this pick. Give me the Rams. I'm taking the Rams. Let's go. This is my upset of the week.
Give me Colorado and give me Colorado by 2+ touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, I got told I was smoking something earlier. I think Nolan might have snuck it. He
I
might
don't
have
smoke,
snuck
man. I don't
it.
smoke.
No, you got to do some
Maybe,
serious convincing
maybe,
after that
maybe,
pick. I'm not gonna
maybe,
lie.
maybe I had a drink or two beforehand, but I
He
don't
had something. He's not
know.
thinking. Give me the Colorado Buffaloes a lot to a little.
Hey, I tell you what, if Braden Fowler Nicolosi four throws for four touchdowns and 350 yards, and the Rams pull this off, I want to be bowed down to on this podcast next week. Caleb, we're gonna
John's
be
Thunder's
we
doing his
Caleb, we
thing,
already have
man.
Caleb, we already have a guest next week. We're gonna bring you on just for that reason if Colorado State pulls this off. And
Yeah,
you know what?
not
I
happening. Don't worry about
believe me, I know how much caution I'm throwing into the wind with this pick, but
it.
I'm making this pick.
Yeah, no shot.
Houston, 4.5-point favorite at home against Rice after losing in overtime last year to the Owls. This one's kind of a toss-up for me. I'm going to go ahead and give the Cougars the edge because Rice getting embarrassed by Sam Houston wasn't great. I know Houston got embarrassed by UNLV, but clearly JD is high on UNLV this week. So I'm going to give Houston the edge here. 4.5 points, I'd say they cover. I don't think they cover by much, but I give me Houston to cover.
Yeah. Rice showed a little bit of fight last weekend, but I don't think it's enough. I think Houston just has a little, not a lot, when I a little, like this much talent difference that I think it gets the win and they cover.
Yeah, Houston just reminds me a lot of Vanderbilt. I don't know why. It's just they do. I know Nolan said something about the Sooners earlier. Not gonna say too much. Not gonna say too
I don't
much.
want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
But give me Houston here,
Wait,
and I do think they cover.
you're saying Oklahoma, South Carolina is what you're saying?
I'm saying Oklahoma might get smacked in 2 weeks when they play Tennessee. That's what I'm saying.
I'm not going to deny that either.
Yeah,
And the final Big 12 game of the week, 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network from Laramie, Wyoming. The BYU Cougars come to town to take on the Cowboys of Wyoming. We all know last year, Wyoming pulled off the upset of Texas Tech. Can they do the same? BYU's a 10.5-point favorite. Give me BYU and give me BYU to cover, actually. I like the start they're off to. It's not pretty, but I think they're going to slowly start to get it rolling. And obviously, Wyoming's off to a terrible, terrible start. So 10.5, I think, is a little low. Give me BYU to cover.
two things on this. One, either Arizona or Arizona State should always have a home game on a Saturday night. What else am I supposed to do at 2 a.m. when there's not Big 12 football on? Like this is
Drink or
embarrassing.
sleep.
Yeah, but there's no it's Hawaii, I guess. Other than that, BYU wins. I do think they cover partially, or not really because BYU is good, but more so because Wyoming is way worse than I thought they were going to be. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, not to discredit BYU's win, but Preston Stone was on the bench.
And
So,
SMU is a joke of a program. Anyways,
yeah, SMU, what
Chicago.
the heck, man? I said y'all was going to be good. You know what? That's for a different time. But yeah, no, BYU gets it done here. Not very high on them personally, but you can't pick against them in this game. So, give me BYU.
So, JD, as far as your 2 in the morning comment goes, you got two games that kick off at 9:30 on ESPN, San Diego State at Cal. Cal's a 19-point favorite. And you've got New Mexico State against Fresno State. Fresno State's a 19.5-point favorite. That one is exclusively on Max at 9:30.
I will be there.
I believe you. Gentlemen, I think that's going to do it for us tonight. We've got other things to do. In 15 minutes, we have a very historical political event going on, so we need to get out of here. Any last comments you guys would like to make?
I'm really excited for this game overall. I think everyone should be. I do want to make one comment, though. I do think it's really funny that this is TCU's blackout game because UCF wears predominantly black. They do not wear gold. So they will be forced to wear white or wear black and make the blackout look even better. So I think it was a genius move.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Just thank you all for having me on. It was a great time. Hopefully we can do this again. Hopefully we'll be joined by John and Tanner. That's going to be a super episode for sure. But yeah, thank you for having me on. It was a blast, boys. And yeah, go kill it.
Thanks, Caleb. Thanks for joining us, and hopefully we can get the other guys on as well. Hopefully we can have you back again soon. Well, I'd love to bring in all three of you for sure, and that'd be make for one big super episode down the road, hopefully.
We'd love to have you all on our podcast at Triple Option CFB on X. You know, I got to plug it one more time.
Go ahead, man.
We'd love to have you all on as guests as well. You know, that's light work. We can cover national-based, and we could talk more so about the – teams y'all enjoy and JD's hatred towards
Caleb, SMU. Can we just have like an entire episode just talking about SMU as a joke? But
John heard it too, trust me. John heard it. I was around John and I was like, if they don't play it play Preston Stone, I'm gonna lose my mind.
I will refrain because I will have to be withheld from all of my comments next week by Nolan.
That's for sure, man.
He has already told me that I'm gonna have to play moderator because our guest next week, like,
that's crazy.
They're gonna go head to head. Like, I'm gonna have to go like full like host, like interviewing these guys.
That's why you gotta go watch the
gentlemen.
Debates, that way,
gentlemen, you're right. Yeah, that's why I gotta go watch it. Well, I mean, I'm a big politics guy, so I want to watch it anyway. But so anyway, Frog fans, that does it for the 10th episode of Gridiron Frogs Podcast, a part of the TCU Horned Frogs on SI. Thank you for tuning in, listening, watching, or however you find your podcast. We'll see you next week with another great show. And until then, for my partner, JD Andrews, and Caleb Sis for joining us as our special guest, and everyone at KillerFrogs.com, I'm Nolan Ruth signing off. So long, everybody.
Thanks, guys.